Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki Balancing Form and Essence. Well, you know, it's really great to have a theme, but sometimes it's good to have the theme be interspersed with other interviews, especially when they come at the right time. So I met Dr. Hutchinson years ago. I don't even remember when. It was so long ago, because I was in and out of the UK for work and other things, and I had just found out that I had high blood pressure. So I wanted to find out if there was a way to work with my high blood pressure in another way besides taking allopathic medicine. And I also needed to have some tests done. So a friend of mine in the area had referred me to Dr. Hutchinson, and she was a perfect match for me. She was a medical doctor who had just was completing a medical herbal study so that she could recommend some herbal remedies for me, which actually worked really well. And I've always admired her willingness to just be open and to care for her patients in the best way she knows how. And just recently, I found out that she also has taken Reiki. So I asked her if she would be interviewed, and she said yes. And so here we are today. So, Dr. Hutchinson, thank you so much for saying yes.
That's all right.
And I would love to hear your Reiki story.
Fine. Firstly, I'd like to paint a picture of the person I was before I met up with Reiki.
Okay, that would be great.
I am a very positive person, and I always look people straight in the eye. And when I was 14, I told everybody that I wanted to become a doctor, a medical missionary that was going to go to India to help the women, particularly who were, I felt were held back by purdah and that sort of thing. I'd learned all this from my church. And this helped me a lot. There was nobody in my family to become a doctor, but because I told everybody what I wanted, they helped me. And the next 4 years, I worked really hard. And just to paint a picture, this is 50 years ago, so the opportunities to become a doctor as a woman were not quite equal.
Exactly.
The government had only just passed a law to say that all medical schools must take 20% of women. And so that was how the odds were stacked against me. The second thing was, I took 4 A-levels, which was rather a lot in those days. The reason being there'd been a quarrel between two medical boards. The Cambridge board said the London board, physics wasn't good enough, and they had replied and said the Cambridge board, biology wasn't good enough, so I had to take botany and zoology as well at a late stage of my A-levels. And then the biggest thing which I had to overcome was the actual interview. I'm just telling you this because it shows you how the how great the odds were, really. My mother had gone to great trouble and bought me a grey terraline suit. Terraline had just come in, and so the pleats were permanent, a grey silk shirt, and a red hat.
And wonderful.
When we sat in the waiting room, the dean came out and said, all you ladies must take off your hats. And I was furious. I thought, that's the only bit of colour, and I just love colours. And so I went in there, and whatever they asked me, I said, of course I will. Of course I'll pass all these A-levels, and of course I want to be a doctor. And I got in. And I was so thrilled that this opportunity had been given me.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
And the other part of me was religion. I was very religious, went to church 3 times a day. I wrote copious notes on the Bible trying to explain it. My belief in God was based on the wonderful world around me and also particularly the miracles.
Mm-hmm.
And my way of life that I wanted to be was to use the talents I'd got to increase them, like the parable of the talents, in helping other people. But my own way of life was based on stoicism, which was probably a wrong thing, that I would not complain about anything, I would keep everything to myself.
Mm-hmm. Is that so, like the stiff upper lip?
Yeah, the English stiff upper lip.
Yeah.
So I worked hard and I became a doctor.
Wow,
and,
amazing.
But I became a missionary. That sort of fell by the wayside when I went to college. There was, of course, another hospital which I didn't go to, but I had to get a state scholarship because my father was out of work. So I just gave that up and worked hard to get the state scholarship, which I got. But anyway, I became a doctor and I worked, the other reason I didn't become a missionary was because I wanted to marry and have children. And I got married and we moved to Wales and I had 4 sons.
Wow.
In 5 years.
Oh, wow. Amazing.
So, just as I moved as well, this is interesting, the week we moved, I discovered I was pregnant. I probably wouldn't have said yes to such a move, but there we go. It just timed its announcement perfectly. When I was having the children, I didn't give up doctoring. I did a lot of locums and kept my hand in touch. And then uh-huh. There came this opportunity. My youngest boy was only 6 weeks old and a doctor was taken ill in the local practice and they asked me if I would come and work full time. And I knew I had to take it.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, there would be no chance because lady doctors were not very common and they wouldn't have chosen me if they'd found a good male candidate.
Right.
Because of illness, I slipped in the back door and I entered this practice where I worked for 30 years. And at the beginning of that time, we were family doctors. We had our own patients on our list and we looked after them. And we were very lucky. We had a cottage hospital, so we did all the care. We did the obstetrics, we did the casualty, and we had hospital beds. We could admit our own patients and look after them in our hospital.
By the
end of the 30 years,
yeah,
it had changed. And there was too much interference from the powers that be. They were beginning to tell us what drugs to use because some were cheaper, you know, or to tell us that we had to get an allocated number of tests on patients, whether they were ill or not, they had to be called in and tested. And we started to have no time at all to talk to our patients. Our interviews got shorter and shorter. They were actually 5 minutes long by the time I finished.
Oh, my goodness.
So I was beginning to, at that time, we're now in 1999, beginning to feel disgruntled with my life, whereas before I had felt very fulfilled
mm-hmm.
being my family and being a doctor. I had realised, by the way, during this time that you didn't have to go to India to help women. Because I was a lady doctor, I had all the opportunities to help the women in the practice.
Yes, exactly.
I treated the menopause, which some of the men doctors didn't believe in, and I ran family planning clinics when the pill came in and so on.
Right.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yes.
Well, you know, my father was a doctor, an
yes.
MD, and he was, again, one of the last, what I call, the last country doctors. The same. He did obstetrics and emergency room, and he had this little hospital that he worked with, and
yes.
it was just such a different feeling than it is today.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Yes.
Amazing.
I think that I was known as the listening doctor, which was quite nice. And I think because I always looked people in the eye, they felt they were getting the truth from me, which I hoped they were. And they always recognised my voice wherever I was. If I rang the wrong number, they always knew it was me. So my voice seemed to help to heal them and my optimism.
Great.
But suddenly, around the sort of 1993, I'd started to play golf instead of tennis because I was getting a bit too slow for tennis. And I met a new set of people, including Joyce, who was to become my partner. And I felt strongly attracted to her in a way I didn't understand, but I realised later that it was because she had such a gross aura. And we used to chat after golf, and I found out she was a healer and a clairvoyant, but she'd hidden all her talents away.
Uh-huh.
She wanted to be normal. And in that year, my mother's health was failing, and I had a small gynecological problem that I really needed to have operated on, but I couldn't find a locum. And then suddenly, a young doctor who was working with us just for a locum himself said, "Does anybody want a 3 months locum?" And I jumped at the chance. I said, "Yes, please." And so I took the time off. I told none of my friends that I was having an operation. I just disappeared. I can remember saying to Joyce, "I won't be able to see you for a while." She must have been very hurt. And had the operation and then spent my recuperation with my mother, which was perfect. Uh-huh. And she died 2 weeks before I was due to go back to work.
Oh, wow.
But Joyce had never met her, and the night she died, she appeared to Joyce and said, "Please look after my daughter." And Joyce thought, "Well, that's a bit of a joke. I'm already looking after my mother with heart failure and awful arthritis, my father with Parkinson's and stroke. Why should I want to look after a really healthy, successful doctor?" I'm just illustrating how I need to tell you about how we came together, because the Reiki came first to Joyce. You'll understand if you can just bear with me.
Oh, all right? This is not a torture. This is a wonderful story, and I'm just loving it. Yeah, so go for it.
We got back in touch with each other the following time, just after my mother had died. She rang me and said, "Remember me?" And we started going on holidays together. And these holidays were amazing spiritual journeys, I realised. The first one was to India. We set our heart on going to see the Taj Mahal. And then we did Burma and Thailand and Morocco. These were the three where we studied other world religions and learnt things from them. And I was able to expand my spirituality, which I think had become very narrow, really.
Mm-hmm.
And all the time I'm thinking, why has this friendship occurred and what is going on, you know? And there must be a really good reason for it. And I decided, by the time it came to 99, I had to make a decision, because Joyce was much more part of my life than anything else. And so I retired from general practice and divorced my husband and set up with Joyce. And I decided that the two of us were designed to do healing together, and she must bring out her wonderful talents and use them with me.
Mm-hmm. Great.
I even wrote you a poem. Would you like to hear it?
Yes, please.
It's quite short. It's called Anamkara, which is soulmate.
Ah.
"Two comets on their elliptical way came within each other's sway. watched over by angels and synchronized. They hit head on and magnetized. Then came the challenges right from the start, trying to shear the two stars apart. The turning power of their orbital courses were nearly too much for the central forces. Sparks flamed and painful abrasion, but still they kept to their straight line. Ashes, darkness, silences of despair, but knowing the answer lay somewhere. Synchronous now, in wonderful bliss, never having known a love like this. Both energies are together burning, taking in the fuel of learning, ready now for a new beginning. Feeling now that good is winning, and from their burnished annealing they have learnt the task is healing. So keep on their new straight path, always earnest but able to laugh. Each one is blessed with an Anamkara, clothed in light, an amazing saga, and from this beautiful, joyous state, vibrant healing will emanate.
That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
Okay. So, I was ready, you see. I said, okay, I'm going to retrain as a herbalist. And I think that will be what my path now, because I'll build on the talents that I have and the knowledge that I have. No use doing something totally different. And I said to her, you take a course in spiritual healing. But, of course, she had always, whereas I've always learnt my stuff from books, she'd learnt by practical experience. Her work was a hairdresser, and she was still hairdressing at the time. And she started this course, but it didn't really appeal to her. My course lasted 2 years, and I became a herbalist in year 2000. And
right.
Joyce carried on hairdressing. Now, then things started to go wrong, and in 2001, she got an ulcer on her leg, and it would not heal. And the point was, I was trying to look after her, but it's not really approved of in doctoring. You're not really supposed to treat close members of your family because you get too involved.
Right.
So I insisted that she went to the doctor, and it was made much worse by then. They kept putting on dressings which stuck to it and so on. We'll go into gory details. And one day it came to this climax, and it was looking black and gangrenous, and I said, you must go into hospital immediately. And she said to me, no, I want to go to a healer. And this was a big, big challenge to all my medical training and love of her sort of won, because I took her to a healer. I had met a few alternative therapists when I just retired from practice. I wanted to tell the place where I lived about alternative therapies, and had a 4-day demonstration at the local store, and this is where I'd met her, but I didn't know anything about Reiki. So I took her, and I was in a terrible state. She allowed me to come into the healing room, and I sat in the corner and prayed all the time. But Joyce had the most wonderful healing, and sometime during the healing, the healer said to her, I want you to think of what you'd really like to be. And she said, the thought came from nowhere. I want to be a better healer than you. And at that point, an electrical shock ran straight down the affected leg. And the healer said, whatever did you think of? And Joyce couldn't quite tell her at the time. We told her later on. She thought it was rather offensive.
Right.
But that thought was so strong that, you know the story, obviously, you know what I'm going to say. From that moment she came away from there, she felt no more pain. She'd had this ulcer for 1 year and 4 months. It healed up within a few weeks.
Wow.
And Joyce had found Reiki. and she just wanted to find out about it straight away. And, you know, it's, she just wanted to, we started going to see, to go to that group and go to the meetings and find out all about it. It was the perfect thing for Joyce because it was practical demonstration that she could learn from so easily.
Right.
But I was holding back. I was the scientifically trained person and I couldn't explain it, so I couldn't really accept it. But I felt, okay, I'll go along because I want to support Joyce in what she's found and I want to understand it to help her.
Right.
So we started along that path. She went in front of me. She did her first attunement before me. And wonderful things happened. I did my first attunement. Nothing happened to me at all. It seemed to be very calm.
Wonderful.
And so on. And we advanced through, obviously, not what you approve of, probably not what I approve of, but we went through fairly quickly. I think I tried to establish the dates in my mind, but I think really we did the second attunement about 3 months later, and we did the Masters about 6 months later. But if you can understand, Joyce was absolutely on fire with it, and
right.
she was becoming such a tremendous healer immediately because she could express all these things that she wanted to express. But when I did the Masters, that's when I became totally changed because during the attunement, my right hand was hit with a very, very sharp pain and I knew that I was being told to write and that writing was my talent that I had throughout my life, but I was to use it for Reiki. And so that is when we started to say, we will do this together now, and I will be the person who writes whatever's needed to be done or advertises or whatever. So that's how it started. But I was so on fire as well that we had all sorts of ideas at what we were going to do. And we had an idea that we would set up a charity, which I want to tell you about, and that we would move house and find a perfect place where we could practice Reiki and herbs from, and that this would also be a place where people could come and stay with us if they needed us.
Right.
And,
great.
We also found other things just came at us in a rush, really. So I'll come, I want to tell you, one thing that happened, which was, we found, as a doctor, you can't treat animals, but as a herbalist, you are allowed to.
Oh, really? Oh, that's an interesting difference.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah,
so,
weird. Yeah. very, very interesting.
I was doing a herbal course, herbal surgery, and suddenly there's a phone call, a distressed father on the phone. He says, my daughter's horse is going to be put down in 2 days because it's got a very, very infected foot, and the vet says, in too much pain, I can't cure it. He's got to be put down. I'll just give you, and they pleaded with him for 2 more days. And they looked me up. I had a website at that time. And they looked me up on the web and found I only lived a mile away. So they rang me immediately. And I didn't want to go. I thought, what am I going to do with a horse? But when I came across the house and told Joyce, she said, we must go, we must go, we must go. And she'd had quite a bad back that morning. I do remember that. And the only thing they told us about this horse was it was very large. And it was a dark, wet night in November. And we went there And the girl, who was 18, said to Joyce, she could see Joyce edging round the little outside courtyard of the horses area. Are you used to horses? And Joyce, oh, yes. And she stood by the stable door. She could see this lovely piebald horse, and she thought, that's not too big, I shall be fine with that. And she felt hot breath breathing into her crown, and she looked up straight into the nostrils of the biggest horse she'd ever seen. It was nearly 19 hands high.
Oh, my gosh.
And the head filled the whole of the top stable door. And he'd been off his feet, not eating, and he'd got off his feet to see who this was that had come to see him.
Uh-huh.
And she went in, and she lay on the floor with him and treated him. And the father, the daughter, and me, we were in the safety of the next stable gazing at them. And, you know, it was so moving. We saw this horse relax and ease from his pain, and it made us all cry.
Uh-huh.
We looked at the horse at the end of the treatment. The horse cried. He cried a tear.
Oh.
And the next day he was up and eating, and the second day the vet came and said, I don't know what's happened here. It's a different horse. And Joyce tried to explain. He said, I don't need an explanation. I just know it's worked. And we fed him. We did Reiki every day for a month after that.
Uh-huh.
I took Comfrey to make a poultice.
Yes, very good.
The first day I went, he ate the leaves before I could make the poultice. So every day after that, I took him the fresh leaves and he ate them, and the foot was totally healed as well. So that was an example of how we started to work together with Reiki and herbs.
That's fantastic.
What? And another one, which led us from animals to children, particularly, was again a farm, and this horse was not well after having a foal. She was down, as they call it, and she didn't.
Was that a foal or a foal? A baby.
A foal.
A foal.
A baby uh-huh. horse.
Yeah.
Yeah. She just had this foal that was rather big for her. Really had enormous legs, and we again went on a very wet night, I remember, and straight away, because she rang us to say she'd rung the owner of the horse. She looked after the horse but didn't own it, who lived in the south of England. And whilst she was telling the owner, there was a horse whisperer in the room who grabbed the phone and said, get a Reiki healer to the horse. She didn't know anybody, but she asked around and found our name and rang us. And so we went there. And again, we were able to heal that horse, and she got up and was normal the next day. But while I was there, I saw a little face at the window, a very pensive, wistful face, that one of the sons of the family. And we made friends, because obviously we went daily to see the horse called Lady, she was.
Yeah.
And this little boy was 9 years old and quite dyslexic and dysnumerate. And we were able to heal him of that with herbs and with Reiki. And it was quite wonderful, really. He had called himself Mr. Fog because he couldn't understand anything at school and he was just in a fog. And he dropped that name after he was able to start to study.
So wow, that's wonderful.
We're taken in all directions. But at the same time, I had this thing about a charity. Now, I wanted to form a charity because I felt there was a big gap in patients' care. They go into hospital and they're treated with the best of everything, if you like. And then very often when they came home to the GPs, there was a gap because GPs didn't get the letter or the patient's tablets didn't arrive or we couldn't get hold of them.
Right.
And sometimes young people were isolated by abuse of alcohol or mental disease, and they didn't get the care that they needed, either going into hospital quickly enough or coming out.
Uh-huh.
And so I called my charity Mind the Gap, like you say at the tube station. But it was an awful prolonged process, and I just got nearly to the end of it, and I had to have 2 committee meetings and a company of 36 people that would belong to the charity before I could apply and get some charitable status, which was very important because that's how you could raise the money to help people.
Right.
And at the same time as I was doing that, we were trying to look for a better place for our new house, where we felt I felt we needed to be up on a hill. I was felt very strongly about this, that we were down in the dip. We had very depressed neighbours either side. One was slightly mad and the other one was depressed, and they didn't help us. And there was a busy shop and people used to throw their rubbish into our forecourt, and there was about to be a new bypass built, and I thought that would be very noisy.
Uh-huh.
And I thought we needed to move.
Right.
And we had some money saved and we thought, it's not enough, so we'll buy what we called a little house, a little terrace house, do it up and make more money, and then we'll have more money to buy this perfect house. So we're doing this, and we love doing up houses, so that wasn't a problem to us, and arranging for this charity. And then it all went wrong on one weekend. On the Saturday, one of my friends who was going to be the president of this charity fell and broke her hip. And the first committee meeting was to be on the Monday. And on the Sunday, my son had a horrific accident. He came off a commercial lawnmower, golf course lawnmower, and his leg was broken and cut and,
and
all sorts of things. So, of course, then we were going to that hospital daily, and I realised that the charity just was not going to take off. So that was good in some ways, because that it had occupied an awful lot of energy.
Right.
On the other hand, my son was in a crisis. He had stayed at home with his father and worked for him, but his father was about to remarry and move out, and he was going to be left in a very isolated job, which wouldn't have suited him, just as a night caretaker, and I didn't want that at all. And this accident took him out of that, so the angels managed to do 2 things in one go. They stopped me doing the charity, and they provided me with the opportunity to Reiki my son, and he came out of hospital 3 weeks later, having had 4 operations in 8 days.
Wow.
And the only place we could nurse him was in our treatment room. So he had the wonderful surroundings of Reiki, and he was, we treated him in hospital with Reiki as well, and they let us do it, which was wonderful.
That's great.
And I fed him with lots of aloe vera, so his skin grafts all took. They said, they're wonderful skin grafts, these. And then he lay in the Reiki room, and he never felt any pain, and everything healed up wonderfully. But then we had this little house. So instead of selling it, we put him in it, and he recovered there, and we gradually reduced the amount of support we were giving until he could start this new life, which he would have been very loath to do, but he was forced into it, and it's worked wonders since, and he's very successful in his life now.
Well, that's a wonderful story.
So that was helping him. And then after he found a better house, which was great, we were able to sell it, and then we found this dream house about a year later, and it was called A Place to Stay in the Sun, in Welsh, Llety Haelan. And it was up in Llanrider, which was in the hills, which I wanted. And I thought it was wonderful. I wrote another poem. You want that one?
Oh, would you like another poem? Another poem. Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. This is Llety Haelan. A Place to Stay. We also knew it was a place to stay because it was on a pilgrim's route, because we found the big stone markers that they had, and there was another place called Llety on the other side, so we knew the path went through Llanrider and on up to what was some sort of hospice further on in the hills, going back years and years. So we were on that route. I wrote, a sacred place in which to dwell must be defined, must ring a bell. The search was on for 20 months, and 20 homes rejected by their score. Then came for 21, the introduction casual, the approach diabolical, then over the ridge, a moranic tongue, to find with a shout of joyous lung, a priceless pearl, it is the one, in the centre of the hills, above the floodline and valley frost, below the snowline, all towns are lost. Glorious nature from every angle, light penetrating house from every side, fresh air and water, space and light, above all, tranquility. It is the one. Sacred vibration saying welcome. Live here, stay here, put your roots down. Make this place more beautiful, more scintillating, iridescent, and the vibrations will rise, and the light will shine out. A healing place, it is the one. All people will come. We'll feel great joy, we'll return to their homes, blessed and energised, it is the one. And that's what we did. Had a little house, the main house we lived in was a barn conversion, and it had a little house, which was the original small holding. And so we used that smaller place for our Reiki and my herbal work.
Uh-huh.
And everybody said what a big place it was. Felt healed by it. And I think we had some really wonderful treatments there, and we did wonderful attunements there. And very often, when we had done an attunement, we seemed to be rewarded by seeing special in the natural world. We love birds, for example, and very often it's a bird or a hummingbird doing an extraordinary thing. And on one occasion, which I wanted to tell you about because I was thrilled about it, was we had a wonderful day, and after the day finishes, feel you just want to sit quietly. But we had to go out because a friend was desperate that we came to her birthday party celebration. So we were going to the party, we were driving down the valley, and both of us looked to the left as we went over the bridge. We always did, because there was often a heron. And we looked to the left, and there was the heron in the fishing position, head leant forward. And beside the heron was a white egret in the same position, fishing next door to the heron. Now, we knew that you don't see egrets in the middle of Wales. You see them, obviously, in Europe and the hot countries, and if it's very hot in this country, you sometimes see them on the coast. But we both saw that, and we felt it was maybe a bird from a higher plane. I don't know.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
But it was very lovely, and mm-hmm. it moved us greatly, really.
Beautiful.
We wanted to rush back and get a camera, but we didn't because we were going to be late for the party, so we went on.
Right.
Ah.
But you keep talking about this in past tense, so are you still there or did you move?
Oh, we moved, you see. You're so cute. Yeah, it's all in the past tense, wasn't it? But let me just tell you, we did do sanctuary there. We wanted to, so we had a little notice saying this is a sanctuary. And one lady came that, well, that she and her partner came, they both had Reiki treatments, and then she said, to my amazement, I would like to take sanctuary and stay with you, and it's what, she stayed for 5 weeks, wow. Phyllis, and I thought, you know, sanctuary, in my stupid innocence, I thought, oh, one or two nights will be enough. But she did come through it. She ranted and raved. She was taking drugs and doing all sorts of silly things. But we got through it. We put up with, she would appear before breakfast and want to talk and would go on all day, and then she'd go off and come back. But we did provide sanctuary for her, and eventually she turned to Reiki, and she used all her talents, which were great artistic talents, and her partner. And their main task is teaching children who've been banned from school, you know, when they have personal tutors, and that's what they do. That was one of the things we did at Chleti as well.
Wow, that's amazing.
It was such a beautiful, it had this 360 degrees vista. You could see all round. And so we saw wonderful night skies, sunsets, sunrises. But of course it was exposed to the winds. And in the winter, it was very, very trying on times. Mm-hmm. And we were there 5 years. And after that, we decided that it perhaps was a bit too much for us. And so we asked for a new place, and we sent it up, really, and we put down 10 points that we wanted, and we didn't mind where it was. And nothing happened, and then all of a sudden this miracle happened, which every time I tell this story, people are amazed, and I tell it quite often. I was looking on my computer, and I saw a funny little message which said I'd won a wonderful amount of money. It was from South Africa. It was the time of the World Cup. I had, sometimes it says, do you want to have a weekly something? I vaguely remember that I'd ticked off I would have a weekly entry into some sort of competition.
Right.
So I rushed to Joyce. I said, look at this, look at this. Do you think this is true? It amounted to R1 million, which was in £450,000 in English money. So I thought, well, if I have won that, we could buy a house in a more suitable climate and sell this house secondly. So I said, shall we follow it up? And so we did. And we exchanged emails, and I said, sooner or later, he's going to ask for some money, and then we'll know it's a fraud. And sure enough, he did. He wanted £300 for the transfer safely, insurance or something or other.
Right.
And this is when we had a great act of faith, I think. I said, well, we know this man is in South Africa. Maybe he is very poor, and this is his way. He needs some money. Why don't we send him the money and be prepared to lose it? But if we do win, then we can make our move. So I went into Oswestry, went to my bank and said he wanted sent by Western, I always call it Western Mail, but it's something else. But what it is you send it person to person. You're not using the bank.
Right. Western Union, maybe.
The Western Union, that's it. So, they said, don't know where that is. Went to the post office. They said they might be able to do it, but they need it in cash. I went back to the bank. All this time I'm feeling this is so wrong. I shouldn't be doing this. Got the cash, went back to the post office. Then they said they couldn't do it, so I'm frustrated beyond. I went back to the bank and said, where is it? Where is it? I'm not going to stand here till you find out where it is. I've been your customer for 20 years. And they said, oh, it's at the... Of course it is. You've got to go to the travel agent. And I passed this signboard. Every week I went to the bank. Western Union is here. Went there, filled in the form, and it said, do you know this man, this person or not? And I said, no. And when the man looked at it, he said, oh, if you don't know them, the police have insisted we show you this list of questions because there's so much fraud about. And I read the list and it said, do you know him? Have you bought a proper ticket? And so on and so on. And I had to answer, no. And I looked him in the eye and I said, thank you for saving me this money, and walked out. But in the meantime, we had booked to view a house, the house we live in now. And it was for the next day. And so, shall we go or not? And I said we should, because we needed to know what the market was like.
Uh-huh.
On the way there, I said, don't know where the thought came from, wouldn't it be funny if we wanted to, if they wanted to swap? And Joyce said, I had the same thought this morning. Well, we won't say anything, we'll find out what they want. And we arrived at the house and it was very run down. They'd been in Thailand for 3 years. He was in the military and let it out. And that's why they wanted to sell, because they didn't want to face doing it all up again.
Right.
And we would have walked away, really. But anyway, during the course of going round it, they said, what we would like is a barn conversion with 4.5 acres, which is exactly what we had. So we said, very casually, well, come and see our house. Didn't think any more about it. 10 o'clock that night, they rang. We're coming tomorrow. Frantic clearing up and putting things in drawers. And then they came, they fell in love with it. They said, we're going to buy it. And we looked at each other and we said, but are we going to buy that awful house? So we asked to go back and we looked at it and we realised, if you didn't look at the dilapidation and the broken things and the boarded up windows, it had ticked all the boxes, all 10 things that we had asked for.
Wow. So
we swapped houses with no fuss, and within 6 weeks we were in the house we are now.
Wow.
And it is not as wonderful as the Cletty as I've described, but it is surrounded by trees. So it has a different beauty, and we have spent the last 3 years making it as beautiful as we can, so that everybody who comes, whether it's a patient or the postman, they all say, what a wonderful place this is. And they do say. And so that is part of our healing process again. And again, we were granted, one of our 10 things was that there was a separate room to use as a healing room, and there was one that didn't really feel like part of the house. So that's where we're at, really, Phyllis.
Wow, amazing stories. Wonderful.
Now, I met you, as you said, and I knew nothing about Reiki.
Right.
I didn't know who you were, but I thought, she's a lady who travels a lot, and she's got an interesting name. When I saw your name on the check, you know.
Yes.
And then about whatever it was, a couple of years later, and we had started with Reiki, but when you came again, I felt too shy to mention it, because I thought, in a way, you were coming to me where you wanted to be looked after as a patient and not be, do you know what I mean? So I felt it's better to leave you as a person to come and just talk to me,
right?
Rather than, I think that's what I thought anyway. I was rather shy about it, really. And so I didn't tell you that at the first time when we then did know who you were. But,
uh-huh.
And we've lost touch, haven't we, really?
Yeah. While I was still traveling and doing my own inner travels, having had breast cancer and then doing the usual chemotherapy and radiation, and at the same time having lots and lots and lots of Reiki and I have a naturopathic oncologist who gives me herbal supplemental compounds, you know, to help my body get stronger and so on. So I've had my own investigative process, as you will, in the last 5 years, and I think of you very often because I felt that you were somebody who came into my life when I really needed to know that there was a way to have everything, you know, that I could have care because my dad was a doctor. I really wanted to be able to, I mean, I really trusted allopathic medicine, and I didn't like the way that it was being used.
Yes.
I really trust some doctors because I have a feeling, you know, that I trust them.
Yes, that's right. That's absolutely true.
Yeah, and then I also really trusted this herbal part because I happened to, in some of my Reiki travels, go places and people would say, oh, you have a cold. Well, what we do in our country is we do this. And then they would give me something that was totally some strange little concoction. I would do it or take it or have a compress on my chest or whatever, and it would work. So that was really interesting.
This is lovely. Since we've been doing this, whenever we travel, we seek out herbalists and sit down with them and talk about different things that they do in those countries. Mm. And when we went to Morocco, it was quite marvelous, really, because I kept saying to our guide, who was taking us right over the Atlas Mountains down to the Sahara Desert, and he said, I want this to be a spiritual experience. This was rather lovely. We hadn't asked for that, but that's what he wanted. And at some point, Joyce slightly dislocated her knee. He took us up a rather tall set of stairs, and we had to climb out, and the door was only 3 foot high, so it was bent rather awkwardly. And I could see we were in for trouble because we were going further and further away from medical help that I would have thought of.
Right.
And should we turn back?
Right.
And our guide said, oh, I have a cousin who would massage your knee for you, because he's he's a healer, and he's done quite a lot of training and so on, and massage. And she said, no, nobody's going to massage my knee. It's too painful. And I'm a healer anyway. And as soon as she said that, instead of anybody wanting to treat her, we went to the clinic where different people worked, and they all lined up to see Joyce, and she was feeling their stomach ache and her back ache. And I felt so sorry for this cousin who didn't have a custom that I had a neck massage. And then we got back and to where we were staying, and the supper was over, but they'd saved a bit for us. And we were just sitting down to the supper, and somebody else came and said, I brought my children to Joyce. So she had a wonderful time there, and they just accepted her. It was so lovely. And that was the year when all this happened, when my son had his accident, and mm-hmm. we must have gone early in the year. And we agreed, we so loved it there that we agreed to go back in the November and take some books that they needed. It was actually cheaper to go and take the books in the luggage than to send the books separately.
Oh, yes, I can imagine.
When it came to it, because we'd been nursing my son, we sent him for a little change. Although his leg was still all in plaster and everything, we rang the guide who we'd made such wonderful friends with, and he used, by the end of the trip, he used to call himself our son. And he said, I will treat him like a brother. And he took him into his home, and they went with him everywhere because he couldn't walk very well. and looked after him for a 2 weeks holiday.
Wow, isn't that wonderful?
It was great. Wonderful. It really was. And I think they would have been quite keen if we'd set up our life in Morocco, really.
Yes, I'm sure.
Because we were telling them about what we were thinking of and trying to find a sanctuary. And he was quite adamant that the Muslim religion would suit us fine.
Great. Oh, wonderful.
So I would say, Phyllis, my life has totally changed since Reiki.
Yeah.
It's the same talents, isn't it? You know, but they're just softened. I now have a practice like I did at the beginning of my 30 years. I have an hour to see my patients, and we can talk, and we can get to know each other, and I can listen to what they say to me, and I don't mind talking about Reiki. Of course, I did mind to start with. I was very embarrassed about it. But of course, once I found I did talk about it, it opened up the conversation. People talked about their fears and about their true feelings, really.
Right.
So it's helped me enormously. And so that is very good, I think, what we do now. What else has changed me? The other thing is that if I get a challenge, you know, if somebody comes and asks me to do something, I must do it now. Whereas I was always busy when I got children and practice. I was too busy to do all things. I might not listen to my intuition or my somebody asking for help. Now I say, no, I've got to do that. That person is asking for that help from me. And I think that's taken me into some new places, but that's good for me, isn't it? You know, and I take those challenges on.
Yes, well, I think you're the stories.
Even when
of
somebody
your...
asks me to do a radio talk, you know, and I think, yeah, but I must do it because
exactly. Well,
yes,
your life has really blossomed. I mean, I feel like I was so lucky that Kristen's friends were up the hill and you were their physician and then they referred me. And, you know, this whole thing about getting connected to these people that really influence your life.
Yes.
And somehow you have this connection with, for the rest of your life. And there's, and I always have felt that, we were connected. And
yeah.
when Kristen, our mutual friend, found you again, I was so excited. And then I was really excited to find out that you had met Reiki.
Yes.
And now I just feel like there's something that's coming around again, you know, like these cycles. And
yes.
I'm really curious to see what will be next.
Because, well, that is true. That is true, isn't it? And I'm very fascinated by you and the way that your life has developed, that you want... I may be wrong in what I say, but I feel that what you're trying to do is not lead from the top, which is, again, what I try not to do now, not to be doctor and telling the patient what to do,
right,
but to share with them and work it out together. Everybody who has Reiki, and therefore we're now looking not only at individual Reiki, but world Reiki and how that can affect the world. Is that true?
Yes.
Is that how you feel that your networking and your the way you move around the countries and join people together is the most important thing you do?
Yeah. Well, it's obvious that that's the next step. And it allows me to grow because there are challenges in that. You know, it's not always easy because I have my own attachments, but you know, when I meet them, it's been wonderful. And I've loved the radio show because it's really given me a kind of neutral platform from which to open myself, because I'm not anybody's master and I'm not, you know, I don't know, I'm the interviewer, right?
Yes.
Rather than somebody else. So it's been good. It's been really good.
Well, I think it's a wonderful idea. Yes, I can understand that. And you...
Right.
Because we do all react, I suppose, to Reiki in a different way, don't
yes.
we?
Yes, yeah.
And move on from there.
Yes.
And I think another wonderful thing about it is that it just embraces everybody. And whereas I used to say one of my things I would like to be is all things to all people, as a doctor I tried to be that.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's what Reiki does, doesn't it? It doesn't bother what your status is or whatever. It's the Reiki that's so important.
Yes, it's true.
And some of my friends in Reiki are just lovely people, you know. We don't mind that. You know, the most thing we enjoy if we have a Reiki share day is when we're sitting out in the open air having our meal, you know, and
right.
just chatting in between the hard work when we're trying to study, and we say, isn't this wonderful that we can just sit round and share?
It is.
Simple things.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, I guess I'm going to have to stop calling you Dr. Hutchinson.
Oh!
Okay, so what do I call you? You know, I grew up in the day and age where all adults, you know, were Mr. and Mrs. or Doctor or something. And
yes,
even,
that's true.
And even now, I'm 65, I go home, and my friend's parents say, my name is Betty, Phyllis, Betty. And I go, well, okay.
Yes,
and
no.
Then it's really an effort not to say Mrs. Perkins, right?
I don't need to be called Doctor. I'm quite happy to be called Anne, which is my second name. My mother gave me Elizabeth Ann, and she said Elizabeth was for if I grew up to be a very elegant, queen-like person named after the queen. Anne was for shouting down the garden, lunch is ready. So Anne, I've been all my life. I was saying only the other day, well, I'm just about becoming Elizabeth because, of course, on computers, you always have to use your first name. So
yes,
I think I'm just about growing into Elizabeth.
Uh-huh.
Yes, so Anne is my name.
Okay.
I have insisted on Doctor quite a lot because I suppose it meant a lot that I'd worked so hard for it.
Well,
but in Reiki, no, Anne is fine.
Okay. Well, Anne, it's time. We've done our hour. And
oh, have we?
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So I just want to thank you so much for your candidness and your openness. And your wonderful story, because I would love sometime to come have tea and hear about your stories of being a medical student and how that was.
Because, we would love you.
Yeah.
We would love you to come.
Good. Well, I shall do that. And maybe next May I'll be back in the UK.
Okay.
A lovely time to have tea in the garden.
Yes.
Yes. Well, thank you, Anne Hutchinson. This is Phyllis Miramoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.